Thank you very much, Fee. Good morning, everyone. I want us to think about a question this morning. It's a really simple question, and it's deeply relevant for us, whether we are here as a visitor, whether you're just looking into Christian things, whether you're staying here to be part of Christchurch Central long term, or whether you're coming with us to Christchurch Walkley. And it's this: how does a church stay healthy and growing? How do we stay spiritually healthy and growing? How does a Christian keep spiritual vitality? How are you going to make sure that you keep growing and maturing as a Christian? Christchurch Central has grown. What will keep it growing? As we plant Christchurch Walkley, we don't want to grow a church that is a mile wide and only an inch deep. So how are we going to do that? What is the secret to growth and progress and ongoing spiritual health and vitality in a church and in Christians? Paul was writing to a church in Colossae. That's where this letter, Colossians, comes from. He was writing to a church that was growing, and he is concerned to make sure that that church keeps growing. And these verses that we're going to look at today, we are just going to look at 6 and 7. The verses we're going to look at is as pretty much as close as we get to his message in a nutshell. And as we look at these verses, I just want to do it under three headings, under three questions. What must we do? How might we get this wrong? What will this look like in practice? What must we do? How might we get this wrong? What will it look like in practice? Okay, so what must we do? The simple answer Paul gives here is continue to live in Christ Jesus the Lord. That is the message of this morning. In one sense, that's job done. Remember that. Let's go home. Continue to live in Christ Jesus the Lord. Just look at it there in verse 6. How does he put it? He says, as you received Christ Jesus the Lord, so walk in him. The Colossians have received Jesus. Now they've got to walk in him. Receive Jesus, Christ Jesus the Lord. That's pretty much a pretty good definition of becoming a Christian, coming into a relationship with Jesus. But of course, it's not just any old Jesus, and it's not just any old relationship. I have a relationship of sorts with my local butcher. It's a pretty good relationship, but it's different to my relationship with Jesus. Jehovah's Witnesses and Mormons claim to have a relationship with Jesus. So you see, which Jesus and what kind of relationship we have is important, isn't it? Well, it's described in that verse. It's receiving Jesus Christ the Lord. God's appointed King, the Saviour of the world. Our only hope for forgiveness and change. The rightful, loving ruler, protector, champion of our lives. That Jesus. Becoming a Christian is saying yes to relating to Jesus as that Christ and that Lord in your life. And Paul says being a Christian and moving forward as a Christian, making progress as a Christian, is about walking in him just as we received him. I guess we wouldn't use the word walk so much, would we? We might talk about a lifestyle, might we? That's what Paul's talking about. It's similar to what we mean when we say lifestyle. Continue to live life. Walk through this world. Walk through your week. Walk through your year with Jesus Christ as Lord. Now Paul unpacks what he means by it even more. Again, this is all, in one sense, incredibly simple. Just have a look at that in verse 7. He unpacks what that means even more. Rooted and built up in him, strengthened, established in the faith, just as you were taught, abounding in thanksgiving. Now, what I want us to notice here is that in each of the things he says in verse 7, in verse 6 and 7, there's a kind of a past bit, and there's a future bit. There's a kind of a staying the same bit, and there's a moving forward bit. So, they've, verse 6, received Christ Jesus the Lord, so they must walk. Okay? See the pattern again in verse 7. They are rooted in him, and so they've got to be built up in him. They've got to become established in the faith. That's again, that's the idea of progress. It's about becoming strong. They've got to become strong, but it's in the faith as they were taught. Paul is showing, basically, very simply, he's showing us that for the Christian, progress means more of the same. Progress means more of the same. Someone has put it like this before. I find this very helpful. The way on, the way forward in the Christian life, is the same as the way in. The way on in the Christian life is the same as the way in. Just think about the kind of metaphors Paul's using. He's saying progress is the kind of progress a building makes. It is built up as it stays on its foundations. It's the kind of progress, it's the kind of growth that a plant makes. It grows and bears fruit and buds as it stays rooted where it was planted. The source of progress in the Christian life is Jesus. The same Jesus that we first received when we became a Christian. I don't know whether that was last week for you, whether you haven't received him yet. Whether it was years and years ago, maybe decades ago. The same Jesus we first received when we became a Christian. Becoming a Christian is being given a foundation. It's being planted in soil where we can grow, where we can be built up. Growing as a Christian is about carrying on living life with the same Jesus that we received all that time ago, or maybe just last week. Of course, what's true of Christians is true of churches too. Paul's writing to a church. This is how they together are meant to carry on and keep growing. So if Christ Church Central wants to continue to grow, and God willing, maybe plant again, then she must stay rooted in Jesus. Think about it. Why has Christ Church Central grown over these past years? If you're coming with Christ Church Walkley, take note. Why has Christ Church Central grown? Well, we could point to lots of things, couldn't we? If we were kind of to look at it from a sociology point of view, we'd look at the fact that we're in the city centre and there's lots of traffic, lots of people walk past our building, lots of people come and live in the city centre or naturally sort of hang out in the city centre. We could look at kind of the regeneration that's gone on in our part of the city centre in the Devonshire Quarter and how sometimes, you know, maybe we've kind of piggybacked on that. We could look at the fact that we've had all sorts of gifted people, and we still do have all sorts of gifted people as a church. You know, sometimes when I go and visit and I see other churches, I realise just how gifted and blessed we are to have the people that we've got. We've got sort of 30, 40, 50, 60 of some of the kind of people that most churches would give their right arm to have two or four or five of. We could point to that. We could point to some strategies that may be paid off. Although I think if you were to ask Tim, he'd admit usually that we've grown kind of despite our plans and strategies usually. We could point to all sorts of things. But I reckon most of you, if I were to ask you, or if someone who was new here this morning would say, so where has the growth come from? I imagine you would say something like this. It's because, thankful to God, we've been able to faithfully, as a church, we've faithfully taught and made Jesus known. Faithfully taught Jesus every week, every day, in a whole variety of ways, through our personal lives, through our small groups. Every week on a Sunday, we've taught faith in Jesus. It's possible to build a church by getting a cool band or a really slick program or a minister who really ought to be a stand-up comedian. It's possible, isn't it, to grow a church on that kind of basis? It's worth contemplating, though, that when that happens, what is being built? What kind of growth has happened? What's genuine growth, and what's simply some other kind of inflation? It's possible to see people grow and deepen their commitment and seem to be moving on, look to be moving on by legalism and harshness and kind of heavy-handed leadership. It's possible to do that, isn't it? To guilt manipulate people into being more involved or something. And it looks like growth. It looks something like maturity, maybe, from the outside. It's possible to do that. It's possible to gather a crowd of people by changing the net message. Maybe we proclaim the Jesus of feminism, or the Jesus of anything goes inclusivity, or the Jesus of middle class do good morality. But again, it'd be worth asking, just what sort of growth is going on? Are people coming to faith? Are people being led to become more and more mature in their relationship with Jesus Christ the Lord? Just as in the human body, not all growth and expansion is a sign of health. A church for people who don't go to church. That's our slogan, isn't it? Sometimes I wonder whether there are as many interpretations of what that means as there are members of the church. Frequently, it's been our experience that people have come and they've heard the slogan and they maybe expect something else than what they find when they actually meet us as a church. They expect something cool and edgy. I remember someone telling me that we weren't a church for people who don't go to church anymore because we stopped meeting in DQ Bar. So we're not a church, we will not go to church anymore. Maybe people come expecting a different message or a focus on just maybe one section of society. Well, I'm grateful that Tim has always made it clear. We don't think that that slogan makes us different from other churches. We think that's a description of what every church should be. On mission, welcoming, lovingly including, and sharing the gospel with outsiders who are interested. Seeking to reach out to the unreached, not simply to kind of poach people from other churches or entertain Christians who've got bored. It's what it means to be a church for people who don't go to church. I pray, let me use the second person. It's kind of weird to get used to this, but you know, I guess from today, Christchurch Central is a you to me instead of a we. I pray that you never start worrying about whether you live up to your own press. Somebody once said on visiting Central that what's remarkable about this church is how unremarkable it is. And I pray Central remains unremarkable. The same Christ, the same gospel, just always seeking to walk on in him, digging deeper, going further with him. Well, we've kind of already moved on to my second question. How might we get this wrong? Continue to live with Christ Jesus the Lord. Well, how might we get this wrong? Because it is a given, isn't it? I hope you realise that it is a given that we are in danger of getting this wrong. Again, Paul was saying this to a church that was, as far as he was concerned, very healthy and growing. He starts off the letter by saying how pleased he is, how he gives thanks to God for how they are bearing fruit and growing. He just wants more of the same. It's a given that we're in danger of getting this wrong. I very much doubt that anything that I've said so far is surprising to you. I doubt it was surprising to the Colossians, but Paul was still concerned, and he and his friends, we get a picture of them throughout the letter, that they're concerned for the Colossians, that they're struggling and wrestling in prayer for them, that they will keep going. And so he writes this letter to them. Just like the Colossians, we are in danger of getting this wrong. Well, how might we do that? Well, I think we do it whenever we think that maturity and growth and progress in the Christian life comes from something other than Jesus. When we use any other measurement, or we look in any other place, we look to any other source for life and maturity and growth as a church. So we could be fooled into thinking, for example, that the secret for those things lies in our strategy or our methodology. We could think it's just a matter of being more pragmatic. We could think it lies in our own giftedness or lack of it. And so we sort of look around and we go, oh, that person's gone, or it was really good when we had that person and we don't have them anymore, and kind of thing. Or we look at other churches and we say, we haven't got that kind of gift or that kind of person. And we associate growth and progress with those kind of things. Or we could associate with the latest Christian fad. We could look for one-off experiences to zap us. We could think that the more books we read, the more godly we are. We could trust in our own effort. We could trust in our own reputation or our heritage as a sound person or as a sound church. Also, we get this wrong whenever we make progress, and whenever we make growth and maturity as a Christian, something that it isn't. When we kind of get our idea and our understanding and our experience of that wrong, we confuse it for merely kind of accumulating more facts. Or we confuse it for position or role in the church. I think that's a massive danger. I know I'm mature because I've now been given this ministry job. We measure our progress by our rank. We confuse it with giftedness, maybe. We confuse it with comparing ourselves to others. Some of us, I think, are in danger of putting the ceiling on our growth very low. Yeah, we wouldn't, if asked, we wouldn't say, yeah, you know, I've arrived, I've got nowhere to go. We wouldn't be so arrogant as to say that, of course. But in our own minds, in our own hearts, we've put a ceiling on our growth. Because we think we're fine where we're at. We know how to keep this Christian thing just ticking. And we seem to be doing okay when we compare ourselves with others. Yeah, there are some people that we look up to at church, they're super godly, but we're never going to be like them. But there are also some people, thankfully, that we can look down on. So, you know, we're fine. Growth and maturity is found in Jesus. Walking with him, being built up in him. We get this wrong whenever we try to be built up in something else. We get this wrong whenever we act like we don't expect to grow, or we're not interested in growing. I'd like you to take a moment, turn to the people next to you, and I want you to think about some of those things I've just been saying there. What strikes you as our biggest danger here? Might be that you're new here this morning. Be interesting to know what you think. What strikes you as you come and meet us as a church for the first time? What might be our danger? Taking our eyes off Jesus and looking somewhere else for growth and progress. What do you think is our biggest danger? Discuss that. And you might even want to discuss whether you think I've missed something off the list. There might be something that I've not thought of. There almost definitely will be. Just discuss that with the people sat around you for a couple of minutes. If that's all right, go for it. But yeah, if you want to be pulling those conversations to a close, that'd be really helpful. Anybody want to share something from their group? We've probably got time for one or two people to comment. Anybody want to share something that was discussed in their group? Who's going to be brave?
I think the breaking news about Starbucks closing.
Go on. We've got into
Costa already. So Starbucks on Division Street. Starbucks on Division Street has closed, hasn't it? And we've sometimes used that for outsider friendly invitation events, haven't we, for our mission week, that sort of a thing. So yeah, I guess we could think Starbucks is gone, so that's it. Yeah. Anything else? Yeah, thank you, Chris. Yeah, thank you. One more.
We've planted the church, so okay. We've done our bit. Let's just sit back and relax and enjoy the ride. Let you guys get on with it.
Thank you. What must we do? Were you going to add something?
One more thing. I think our growth is often related to our relationship with each other. And when things aren't well between each other, we fail to submit our relationship to Jesus, which means he's our Saviour, or he's our Lord. We forget to obey and submit to him.
Yeah.
And therefore we stunt our own growth by not fixing things right with Jesus.
Mm. That's very helpful. Thank you. Everybody, did everybody hear that? Tim reckons our growth is linked to our relationships with one another. In a moment we'll see some verses that I think back that up majorly. Our relationships with one another in the family, and so when we don't submit those relationships to Jesus as our saviour, as our Lord, our ruler, and we don't fix things with one another when things go wrong or that kind of thing, then that stunts our growth as well. Is that fair enough?
Yeah.
Thank you. Thirdly, what will this look like in practice? I just want us to see some other verses in Colossians. That's all I'm going to point to. Just turn over the page into chapter 3, would you? How do we, as Christchurch Central and as Christchurch Walkley, continue to live with Jesus Christ as Lord? Paul gives us some practical elements of that. So first of all, Colossians 3, it's going to change our priorities. It looks like an impact on our priorities. That's what it looks like in practice. Chapter 3 verse 1, if then you have been raised with Christ, seek the things that are above, where Christ is, seated at the right hand of God. Set your minds on things that are above, not on things that are on the earth. That's what it means to walk with Jesus as Lord, a change to our priorities. It's also a change of perspective. Look at verse 3 and 4, for you have died and your life is hidden with Christ in God. When Christ, who is your life, appears, then you also will appear with him in glory. A change of perspective. It's also going to mean doing it together as a community. Just have a look. For example, look at verse 12. This is something we do together. There's no such thing as Lone Ranger Christians in the Bible. You don't walk with Jesus without walking with his people. Verse 12, put on then as God's chosen ones, holy and beloved, compassionate hearts, kindness, humility, meekness, patience, bearing with one another, and if one has a complaint against another, forgiving each other. As the Lord has forgiven you, so also you must forgive. And above all these things, put on love, which binds everything together in perfect harmony. And let the peace of Christ rule in your hearts, to which indeed you were called in one body. And be thankful. It means being saturated by Jesus' word. Verse 16, let the word of Christ dwell in you richly, teaching and admonishing one another in all wisdom, singing psalms and hymns and spiritual songs with thankfulness in your hearts to God. And it means being saturated with Jesus and with his word and with life in him, walking with him in the everyday things of life. Look at verse 17, whatever you do, in word or deed, do everything in the name of the Lord Jesus, giving thanks to God the Father through him. At Christchurch Walkley, we've started to talk about wanting a culture of total Bible saturation. And we've talked like that because, not because we're bookish, but because of Jesus. Let the word of Christ dwell in you richly. What does it mean to walk with Jesus through life? All of Jesus for all of life. That's what it means. All of Jesus for all of life. So Jesus' word needs to be drenching every corner of our lives. And if you're in any way tempted to see things like that and to mistake them for a life of drudgery or boredom or something that's depressing and dull, please just take a look back, Colossians 2, 6 and 7. Look at the very end of verse 7. Little three-word phrase, abounding in thanksgiving. Overflowing with gratitude. Progress in the Christian life, it's not about a stiff upper lip. It's not about simply being hard or gritty. It's a life that is so steeped in the gift of God to us in Jesus that it overflows in gratitude. It's a life of gladness, a life of joy. How does a church stay healthy and growing? How do we stay healthy and growing spiritually? Well, the answer, of course, is Jesus, as anyone in Club Central could tell you. He is the senior pastor of Christchurch Central. He is the church planter of Christchurch Walkley. He is our growth dynamic. He is our all in all. Let's walk in him. And we're going to do that. We're going to pledge and promise to do that in the words of our last song. The musicians will come up. Words about Jesus being all we need. And words of response of saying, we're going to give our yes to that now and forever. Please would you stand with me.